to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, just outside of Salem, Massachusetts. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live. I'm going to try to increase the volume just a little bit today. Here we go. Because I want everybody to hear me. I want everybody to listen in today. Good to have you with us today. Uh-oh. Hang on here. There we go. Good to have you joining in with us today. We are glad that you're here. My computer is having some problems, naturally. I'm going to talk about the old devil today, and he ain't going to like it. He's already... Can you believe the devil's being mean to me for some reason? I don't know why, but he's being very, very mean to me. It makes me sad. No, it doesn't really. I've got a couple stories I'm going to read you today, a couple of headlines. We're going to lead it. My wife has come over to our side now. She has. She is a watchman on the wall. Man, she sent me a picture of a bumper sticker she saw. I'm going to go ahead and cue that up and show it to you. You got to see this thing. Let's see here if I can pull this up here. Yeah, here it is right here. My wife saw this bumper sticker today, sent me a picture of it. Pagan and proud. Woohoo! She's got another one that I'm going to pull up here in a little bit. And you just got to see the things that are out there. It's unbelievable. Anyway, good to be with you today. A chip in the head. I know some people that could use one of those. A chip in the head. Brain implants will be connecting people to the internet by the year 2020. Would you like to surf the internet, make a phone call, or send a text message using only your brain? Most people are sending text messages and phone calls and stuff on the internet without using their brain. You can tell. All you got to do is sign up for Facebook and read some of the stupid stuff that people put on there. Good grief. Would you like to download the content of a 500-page book into your memory in less than a second? Would you like to have an extremely advanced nanobots constantly crawling around in your body, monitoring it for disease? Would you like to be able to instantly access the collective knowledge base of humanity wherever you are? All of that may sound like science fiction, but these are the technologies that some of the most powerful high-tech firms in the world are actually believe are achievable by the year 2020. However, with all the potential benefits that sucks technology could bring, there's also the potential for great tyranny. Are you listening to that? See, to be honest with you, but it's like I said the other day, Jazz calls me and says, hey, are you in front of a computer? Duh. Everywhere I go, I'm in front of a computer. And primarily because I get these ideas of stuff to do, like Watchman Broadcast or Pastor Mike Online or Bible studies or church services or just random notes. And so when I was in Walmart, when God just sort of illustrated to me Isaiah chapter 14 about the sun rising and Satan being like the Most High, that's the sun at high noon, but then he goes back down. And I'm making notes in Walmart on my iPad with that thing. I am a computer guy. I'm a techno geek, whatever you want to call it. I never thought I'd make any money off of it. But, you know, here we are. To be honest with you, as far as my flesh goes, the possibility that I could have technology in my brain where I could have instant access to all of the world's information all at once. I've even had this idea. Google Glass and all these companies that are giving these microphones, Google Glass with people, these glasses on, and they got the cameras on and stuff in their ear, and they got a little computer screen up there, and they can see what everything's going on. There is these new, you can put these goggles on. And I just kind of had this thought, why aren't people wearing these goggles with these lenses on there that telephoto? You see what I'm saying? And everything would be in 3D, just like your natural eyes. And you could just walk around and they would, the lenses here, the cameras or whatever, would respond to your eye movement. So if your eyes looked down, they would look down. If your eyes looked to the left, they would look to the left and so on. And have a little computer screen in there that detected like heat signatures. Or detect it could give you distance or, you know, things like that. Or if you were looking at something and you wanted to see it close up, then it would react to your eyes and it would zoom in on something like that. I think that would be neat. I think that would be cool. Here's the problem. We already know. By the way, the lead article on the Drudge Report is the NSA was spying on Il Papa, the Pope. The problem with all this technology being in us, that means that the government or the powers that be, the all-seeing eye, would then be able to get inside of us and know our thoughts, our ideas, things that we're thinking about doing. And I mean, you get the story. The government already knows way too much about us. NSA came out the other day that part of the investigation is that the NSA had tapped into Google and Yahoo, had tapped into them like a phone tap. And the NSA was recording every single bit of data traffic that went to and from or through Google and Yahoo. Every IP address, everything you typed in to look for, everything. They kept a record. They have a record of it right now, probably still doing it. So where does this stuff go? Let's see here. Here's another article. Dawn of the Robo-Sapien. Where is this from? IOL SciTech. Forget about Homo sapiens. Scientists are debating about developing a new species. Are you catching that? Read Daniel 2. The iron is going to mingle itself with the seed of men. Scientists are debating about developing a new species, Robo sapiens. Superhumans with increased knowledge and longevity. According to this debate, this new super species would emerge through genetic engineering, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and artificial life. So says Anton V. von Niekerk. Niekerk, that is Dutch. And if I am reading my Dutch right, that means like new church, right? Niekerk, N-I-E-K-E-R-K. K-E-R-K is Kirk or church. Somebody can write me an email on that. Head of the Department of Philosophy and also director of the Center for Applied Ethics at Stellenbosch University, who has done extensive research on the transformation and enhancement of humans. We're going to do it. We are going to supersede the curse of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We're going to try to hit the override button and override the curse. Van Niekerk, the new church, said man had evolved over millions of years and for the first time reached a point, quote, that we are set to take our future evolution into our own hands. He said a number of top-level scientists were exploring this possibility. Take into account how we, living in a developed context in the year 2013, would appear to ancestors of 100 or 200 years ago. With our prowess at driving cars, globe-trotting, spending most of our days in front of computer screens and conducting the bulk of our communication through the little handheld bars called cell phones, we could undoubtedly appear like a super race to them. Van Niekerk asked what awaited the world in the next few centuries if so much had changed in a relatively short time span. We are therefore, according to the post-humanist, unstoppably en route to the development of a new species. The name Homo sapiens would be inappropriate for the new species that will emerge. Maybe the new name would be Robo sapiens. Now, I'm going to throw something else in here. We have Homo sapiens. A guy wrote me an email the other day, bless his heart. And by the way, it's working. The outreach of Bethel Church is working. I've got an email here from a guy on Justin TV. I'm going to read here in a minute. But a guy sent me an email the other day, and he said that he asked Jesus in his heart. He's watching our videos. He said, I was a homosexual, a bisexual, and a try, T-R-Y, sexual. It means I'd try anything. Whatever was around, that's what I would do. So think of a robosexual. And I'm not trying to be dirty. I am not. But this is, see, men and human beings are depraved in our nature. Our carnal desires and impulses are only looking for the next best thing that we can have. Whether that is, as the Bible terms, fornication, or whether it's drunkenness, or whether you're looking for a drug high or whatever. Nobody just smokes weed. Nobody just smokes a little weed every now and then. That won't do it after a while. We got to go somewhere else. And I don't care who you are. You can talk about the dirty meth dealers that live way out in the middle of nowhere with no teeth. Over in Illinois, the big news for the past year is two judges in the same county got caught in a little drug retreat, a private cabin that one of the judges owned. One of the judges died from an overdose. The other judge got caught red-handed with all that. They were doing drugs together. So think about now the depraved nature of human beings, and then you're going to accentuate that. You're going to remove any barriers that we would have, including moral barriers. We're going to remove those so that humans now can supersede anything that any human has ever done in the past. That's what kind of technology this stuff is headed for. Listen, we are on the verge of it. I got a call, and I answered the call. Brother Tim Rubis, who is on the committee up at Fargo, Moorhead, Minnesota, the Prophecy Conference. Let me go ahead and give you the dates up there. If anybody would be interested in that, I'd like to just meet as many people as I could. March the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, or around that time. That last weekend in March, we're going to be at the Red River Prophecy Conference. And Brother Tim Rubis and I called and I said, do you have a theme? And he said, we just kind of have a common theme for our prophecy conference. And it is, are we in the last days? And he said, it just seems like to me that everything right now is converging into everything's being put in place now for the mark of the beast and the takeover of the new world order and everything. And I said, I agree. And so if that's going to be sort of their theme, I'm going to put some things together for that conference. We're looking forward to it. But anyway, all of this stuff is coming together right now in our lifetime. It's happening right now. And anybody who has their head in the sand and doesn't see it, there's something wrong with you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And this stuff you'll just go, wait a minute. That was in the news the other day. These exact words were in the news the other day. Could it be that my Bible is a book of prophecy? Yes, it could very well be that. I got an email from a guy watching on Justin TV. I am aware, and I mentioned this the other day, I'm aware there's some stuff on Justin TV that's I don't watch. But it is the marketplace of ideas. And we are streaming right now on Sermon Audio, and anybody who goes to Sermon Audio can watch our stream. whether it's Pastor Mike Online or whether it's our church services or whatever. And but most lost people will not go to sermon audio. Where are they going to go? They're going to go, number one, to YouTube. So our web mistress, Jazz, makes sure that if you type certain stuff in, my name comes up. Not for my popularity, but for the mere fact that that's how they see the message. So we're on Justin TV along with the Gay and Lesbian Channel and along with about 14 different Spanish TV networks. We're on Justin TV, streaming there right now. And I mentioned this on Tuesday. The more people that watch at any given time, what that does is that boosts up. They have a when you first load on there, they have a trending thing. And any of the stations that are trending at that particular time kind of get up to the top. And so just kind of keep that in mind. But here is what this gentleman said. He said, I really enjoy Pastor Mike's broadcast and Bible teachings. I'm so glad he keeps on going and now is venturing out into the internet TV. I do not like his choice for broadcasting through Justin TV, but I understand he's on a very low budget, so I can put up with the filth associated with Justin TV. I used to watch an Antichrist church on Justin TV, but soon learned he did not believe in the King James Bible, so I stopped watching him. Thank you to Bethel Church and Pastor Mike and family for all you do to spread the gospel in the world at large. And I appreciate that. If you're the guy and you're listening right now and you sent that, I appreciate that. That helps me. And I'm sure it will help other people. Here we go. Tracy, here's a story that's right up your alley. Common Core. Sixth graders asked to revise outdated Bill O'Rights. By the way, talked to Pastor Reg Kelly the other day. They are producing bullets as we speak. Woo! I am going to do a live interview with Pastor Reg Kelly in an upcoming Pastor Mike Online broadcast. He's going to kind of explain their heart, why they're doing what they're doing, how they're doing, how you can get a hold of them, and just things like that. That will be coming up soon. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it. I got to figure out the technology of it, and it's relatively easy to do. I just got to figure out the best way to do it. So anyway, be watching for that. Common Core. Sixth grade students from the Bryant School District in Arkansas were asked to throw out two amendments of the Bill of Rights as part of a Common Core history class assignment. It's about manipulation, not education. Take these little kids and twist their heads around away from God, away from the Bible, away from morality, away from the standard of laws that we have in this country. Twist their heads around. This is why when a kid shows up at school and does this, hey, how you doing? Throw him out. He violated the rules. And what that's doing, it's trying to put implant in the minds of these kids a fear of a weapon. It's bad. It's evil to have a weapon. We have the government to take care of us. You trust that? They can't even get their health system website running. The worksheet. Here's a picture of the worksheet. The worksheet reads, the government of the United States is currently revisiting the Bill of Rights. They have determined that it is outdated and may not remain in its current form any longer. Where's that news story been? Haven't seen that one. They teach it as fact. The worksheet goes on to ask the students to, quote, prioritize, revise, omit to, and add to amendments to the Bill of Rights. Add to and take away to. See how it works? Leela Spears, whose daughter brought the worksheet home, says this is her daughter's first assignment concerning the Bill O'Rights and Constitution. Quote, after she brought it home and explained her assignment to me, it made me question exactly what she was being taught, Spears told the Digital Journal. She didn't even understand what the amendments meant. How can she make an informed decision when she doesn't understand what she is, quote, throwing out? The assignment also asked students to revise the Bill O'Rights under a special task force. failing to mention the amendment process, which includes support from 2/3 majority in the House and Senate. The you know what the amendment process to amend the Constitution of the United States? You've got to have 2/3 majority vote of both houses of Congress, and then it's not done. You have to get a 2/3 majority of the state's ratification. The people have to approve it. And here it brings up the ability to augment the Bill of Rights by a special task force. Funny thing, she was never told how the Bill of Rights is amended. I do not believe that amended was even used in the class language, only changed. I read through the handout she was given around six in total, and nothing about how an amendment is ratified, Spears said. Luckily, Spears not only made sure to properly inform her daughter on the amendment process, but on the importance of the inalienable rights expressed in the document as well. You know what that word means? You cannot alienate the citizen from the right. You cannot separate them. They are inalienable. I believe that with the wording of the assignment, many children will think that the Bill of Rights is amended and can be changed by a special committee instead of an act of Congress. I know that. See, this is all about re-education, twisting their heads. Years ago, when little children were in school, we learned about the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. We were taught specifically what it would take to change the law in this country, and it's meant to be very difficult to change a law. It's on purpose meant to be very difficult. The Obama administration-backed Common Core State Standards Program, supported in 45 states, has already received massive backlash from parents across the country. But apparently not backlash enough. Just last month, a parent in Louisiana was shocked after hearing her fourth grade son say pimp and mobsters. Mobsters are related to lobsters. Words the mother found in her son's homework. The school defended the assignment, claiming the words were appropriate for 9-year-old children, according to Common Core. A Common Core-backed textbook referred to the most, quote, widely adopted history textbook in the country has also rewritten the Second Amendment, claiming that people only have the right to keep and bear arms in a state militia. Also claiming that people only have the right to bear arms, not to keep and bear arms. In other words, maybe at some point, if the government trusts you, you would be assigned on a temporary basis a weapon to go shoot your neighbor with. Unfortunately, not every student has a parent that will find and correct the government's purposeful and malicious historical rewrites, leaving thousands of children at the mercy of the state's demagoguery. If I were you people and my child went to public school, I would examine everything that they're doing. And you know what you're going to find out? You call me or you write me if you find out that I'm wrong. I dare you to call your school and say, can I have a copy of the material that's being used to teach my child? Can I have a copy of the core curriculum? Can I have a copy of what the objectives are? Can I have a copy of this? Can I see what it is that you're trying to teach my child? I dare you to do that. I have this idea that if you call your school and say, you know what? I would like to know what's being taught in my child's classroom. You're going to get the supreme runaround is what you're going to get. Try it and see. There's a guy named Sam Hain. Sam Hain. First time I read that, I'm going, who's Sam Hain? Who in Sam Hill is Sam Hain? For some reason, it's pronounced Samhain. Must be a Celtic thing. Samhain, the Celtic roots of Halloween. Michelle sent me this. You know what I'm going to do? Let me set this aside. I have a story. This is a true story. This is one of our watchers, one of my good friends in Germany, Deutschland. At one time, I wanted him to try to teach me German, and he gave me a few lessons in email, and I'm going, you know what? I'm just going to sprechen Sie English, you know? Just seems easier for me. His name is Daniel. We've never met. We've talked several times, emailed, tweet each other. He loves the Lord, loves the Bible. I didn't, you know, you find out more about people as time goes on. He has had what I would call an interesting past. I believe his permission to share what I'm going to share with you. He sent me a note here a while back and said that he had been busy with some things. His mother had taken her own life. And I, oh no. And I said, Daniel, I'm so sorry to hear about this. He said, Mike, he said, I'm not losing much sleep over it. Let me share with you about how her life ended. Now, this goes to the idea that there are spirits that are in control of things in this world. If you don't believe that, read Ephesians 2. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it has been my stipulation from what I see in the scriptures that these devils, these spiritual entities that you and I are wrestling against, if you'll study the scriptures, you can figure them out. They're pretty easy to figure out. It's because they are beasts. They have an animal, a wild animal nature. And anybody who studies animals can tell you, yeah, if you know horses, anybody knows horses. Yeah, horses do this. They won't do that. If horses see something up in a tree that they like, will they climb the tree? No, horses don't climb trees. They don't even think about climbing trees. Horses have a nature. Bears have a nature. Fish. My dad knew fish. Oh, wow, my dad knew fish. He knew at what time of year, even based on the sun and the moon. And that's biblical, Genesis chapter 1. He knew where fish, where they were going to be, about when they were going to be biting. And we would go down to this lake, we loved to go crappie fishing. And he would say, they're spawning right over here. And he said, they're going to be in big clusters. You just drop them minnows down. He said, if you find them, we'd just pull them in one after another. I like that kind of fishing. I don't like sitting out in a bass boat for 8 hours, throwing all day and not catching nothing. That ain't fishing for me. But if you know animals and you understand that they have a nature and they don't go against that nature, they just don't do it. Then you can understand spirits because that's what they have. They have a beast nature. The devil himself is a dragon, is a serpent. And he has a nature that he cannot overcome. And so you can predict to a certain extent maybe habits that these spirits have. I just noticed that if I put my face like this, the light that's shining over my head, it makes me look like Adolf Hitler. I just noticed that. I'm not Adolf Hitler. I just appear to be on camera. Anyway, but certainly once a spirit has done something, you can look at it and say, that was the spirit. They left tracks all over the place. Numbers. Locations, symbols are always going to be there. They're going to be present. We're going to go out deer hunting. And yes, we're going to try to kill a deer and eat it. We're going to go out deer hunting. And before we go out, we're going to go looking around. What are we looking for? We're looking for tracks. We're looking for scrapes and rubs. Scrapes are deer will scrape up the ground. They're looking for minerals in the dirt. They'll lick that dirt. We're looking for rubs. This time of year, bucks in rut, and they've got a little bit of velvet left on their horns, and they get up against trees and they rub that off. And you can kind of tell if you've got a great big old buck, that rub is going to be so high up on the tree. So we can understand their nature. We can say they've been here. The deer have been here. This is an area that they are comfortable with. They are here. We're going to plant ourselves right here and hide and try to shoot them as they walk by innocently. That's what we're going to do. Let me read you about Daniel's mother and about how she died. Now, to our knowledge, she took her own life. Listen how she did it. Hi, Mike. This is amazing. You know about my mother and her demise. Well, I've had time to think about it, and it's clearly the work of the devil. Not only did she plan her own death, but because she was led by the devil in his religion, there are some very interesting facts. She moved into an apartment where we found her on May 1st, 2007. Now, I'm going to show you something. Let me pull this up here. May 1st is what's known on the Wiccan or pagan calendar as, let's see if you can see my mouse here, Imbolc. No, that's not it. Where is it? Beltane, right here. Okay, I'm making a circle here with my mouse. It's called Beltane, May 1st. That is the date that Adam Weishaupt formed the Illuminati in May 1st, 1776. This is known as a cross quarter day. I want you to notice that May 1st, right here, is right across from Samhain, October the 31st. Okay? I want you to see that. Now, it gets more interesting than that. We found her on May 1st. She moved into this apartment on May 1st, 2007. She died on the 15th of June, 2013. That was exactly 6 years and 6 months. We found her on the 18th of July, exactly 33 days after she died. She was exactly 66 years old. The date of her death also is interesting when added together, 6 plus 1 plus 5 plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 3 equals 18. Which is 6 plus 6 plus 6. I told you she was laying naked on the floor. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why until I saw these number patterns. I kid you not, she was lying naked just like you've shown in that cartoon picture of the woman in the pentagram. Now go back to the video, The Babel Conspiracy, or the book, if you have the book. And in that book, I showed it was in a comic book I have, a woman spread eagle with her arms out like this on top of a pentagram. Her body was making the pentagram. And what she's doing, she is awaiting the high priest to perform a ritual on her. That's all I'm going to say. He said, I am convinced this was the work of the devil. And you know what? I'm reading this and I'm just going, I agree. By the way, my entire family is under a generational curse. I'm the only one who's not, as I've been to the cross of Christ. And he writes, somebody say amen. My mother was abused over several years in her early teens by her stepfather. My older brother is the result of that abuse. Apparently, a great, great aunt of ours decided that she was some sort of priestess or prophetess back in the late 1800s. The entire family has been under this curse since then. When I was born, I was the fourth child, and the grandmother, along with all her sisters, took me away and sold me on the black market. I found the receipt. That's what he said. That's how I ended up in North Dakota back then. To this day, not one family member who was involved in all this has ever come clean. My grandmother murdered her husband, and we also found out there were two more brothers from this abusive relationship. By the time my mother was 20, she had already bore four children. I am from her husband, not from the stepfather, but the German government had a deal back then with the American military to sell all the illegitimate children to them. And he said, now you can better understand why I value your friendship so much and the preaching from the Word of God. I am the only one saved, and to be surrounded by this daily seemed to sometimes a very heavy burden. I just wanted to let you know that because I find the number patterns more than interesting. It is definitely of the devil. And I'm telling you, even seemingly insignificant as far as the whole world is concerned, this man's mother taking her own life. But when he shared this with me, I'm just stunned. Devils do their work, and when they do it, you can recognize it. You can spot it. And if you'll read the Bible and understand it, you can spot it a mile away. This is why I don't dress up like a vampire on October the 31st. I don't do it no more. This is, Michelle said, as millions of children and adults participate in the fun of Halloween on the night of October 31st, few will be aware of its ancient Celtic roots in the Samhain festival. In Celtic Ireland about 2,000 years ago, Samhain was the division of the year between the lighter half summer and the darker half winter. At Samhain, the division between this world and the other world was at its thinnest, allowing spirits to pass through. And here, I want you to understand this. As you probably know, a lot of things in the occult are about equilibrium. The woman holding the scales is about equality or equilibrium. Think of the yin-yang symbol, equilibrium. So you have, let me go to this graphic again. All right, let me go back here. Let me change a setting here. All right. On this graphic, you'll see these, what they call high holy days in the occult. Samhain, Yule, Imbolc, Ostara, I think, that's after Ashtaroth. Beltane, which is around Easter. That's where the word Easter comes from. Beltane, May 1st. Midsummer, which is June 21st. William Shakespeare wrote A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's what it was about. Lammas, which is August 1st. Mabon, which is September the 21st, which is also the autumnal equinox. The night and day are equal, 12 hours in the day to 12 hours in the night. Samhain, which is October 31st, which is directly opposite of Beltane. And then Yule, which is not on December 25th. It is on December 21st at the winter solstice. These days are worshipped. And the belief is that the powers, the force, or whatever it is going to be strongest, or you can reach certain spirits down in Mexico. It's Dia de la Muerte. I can't even pronounce Spanish. The Day of the Dead. There you go. Day of the Dead. And down there, I mean, everything in Mexico today has skeletons all over it. That's because they believe that they can actually get in contact with their dead relatives on this day more so than in any other time. This is necromancy. It's what it is. But that's what that whole country and that whole culture is just inundated with down there. Got to turn my heating pad back on. I wrote a while ago on the Facebook page, the devil reads my tweets. And today I have been, I ain't kidding you, my bones, I got my jacket on for a reason. My bones are killing me. My stomach is a roaring lion. And I just don't feel good. But I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Let me go back to some slides here. This is actually part of a teaching that I did. You got to see what my wife came up with. Let me go back to the beginning. This was a comic book ad that I saw way back in the 70s, The Magic Power of Witchcraft. If I could have got my hands on a buck and a half, I would have ordered this book. Now, in the 70s, a dollar bill for a kid to come by is not easy. But if I could have got my hands on money and could have had this sent to the mail where I knew my mom wouldn't see it, I would have bought this book. I entertained the thought of buying this book, and I was going to church at the time. And it had such an attraction, such a lure to me. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn witchcraft. I was sucked in by it. And part of this, at the full page advertisement in comic books. So simple a child could use it. It's a setup, people. It is an absolute setup. But the devil is marketing not just contrary ideas about government. He is marketing his religion to these children. So my wife is at the store, Kmart, and she sees this. She took a picture of it. She said, look at what I see. It's called fortune-telling, the fortune-telling heart game. And here are these little kids. You can see these are girls' hands. This was made for girls. See the pink colors and the little hearts? Boys don't buy games like this. They don't say, Mommy, can I have that? That's going to go next to my G.I. Joe collection. They don't do that. But it's about getting girls, especially, into tarot cards, charming, necromancy, Ouija boards, and on and on and on and on. It's to hook them in so that eventually they end up, and here again, my wife, she's a watchman now. She's on the wall watching out what's going on. So by the time they get a car, they're pagan and proud. I mentioned Samhain being part of the holy or unholy days of paganism. And let me kind of explain this a little bit. On this graphic here, you have the sun as the central part, or maybe the earth or whatever. And you have all of these different special days around there. You have the four main ones, which would be the summer solstice, winter solstice, the vernal equinox, and the spring equinox. So the summer solstice, the sun is high above the northern hemisphere. Winter solstice, the sun sets down in the southern hemisphere. And then on these 2 days here, the sun, the night and day is exactly 12 hours the same. But then you have all these other little days inside of here. You want to take a guess how many there are? There's 32 of them, 32 major, what am I trying to say, zodiac signs out here. I know there's 12 main ones, but there's 32 zodiac different constellations that the sun is going to be in such and such house. So add this up. 32 plus 1 is exactly what you see in 1 Kings with the story of Ben-Hadad, the king of Assyria, and his 32 kings with him. This basically is a representation of angelic forces, because stars are angels. Angelic forces that are the basis of the religion of the Antichrist. Remember, God told the Israelites, don't follow the religion of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't do it. Was God just talking about some make-believe religion that they practiced but they didn't really believe in? No. See, God knew these spirits. He knew these devils, these bad angels, these evil angels. He knew what they were up to. And he knew the power that they had over people. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. And God knew about their power. So now we have the high holy days of, and again, I mentioned these. And Samhain is one of those days. Now, I'm going to bring some scripture into this so you can understand that the Bible actually tells you all about this stuff. Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? We see that Jezebel, who is a picture of mystery Babylon. That's why paganism and witchcraft tends to be a feminine-based religion. It's because it stems from mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. What peace along is the whoredoms, and that goes along with it, the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. And so let me just kind of go back here. And I'm gonna kind of skip through some of the slides. This actually, a lot of this information is from the video I did called Wicca in the Church or Witchcraft in the Church. And I'm just kind of going through some things here of things that you and I are not supposed to be a part of. Now, having said that, I don't subscribe to the idea that certain days on the calendar year are pagan and we need to lock ourselves up in our house and close our eyes and act like the world doesn't exist for 24 hours. I don't believe that. Scripturally, I don't believe that. And I'm going to show you why. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up Genesis chapter 1. In verse 14, you know what? I'm going to give you a screenshot of that. How's that? This is the King James Pure Bible software. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Who made the lights? God did. He spoke them into existence. That means they have a seed like you and I. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for four things: signs, seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. That would be like the New Testament. The greater light to rule the day. And the lesser light, that would be like the Old Testament, to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Think of what light represents. It represents His word. It represents truth. And to rule over the day and over the night. And to divide the, notice the phrase, rule over the day and over the night. And to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, when I get to the part or the teaching on the in the Fourth Kingdom series, I'm trying to think and look up scripture and talk at the same time. So hang on one second here. I'm going to go to Genesis or Psalm 19. When I get to the part about the rulers of the darkness of this world, I'm going to elaborate more on this. But number one, who made the sun, moon, and the stars? The moon is not evil. It's not. God made it. The sun is not evil. God made it. The stars, not necessarily are evil, even though there are evil angels represented as stars. I get that. But they're not inherently, and not all of them are evil. Certain days of the year, if you are born again, there is every day alike. Because who is it that made today? Who made this day? What does the Bible say? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why not? Why is it that we're being told by people, and maybe they're well-meaning and that's fine, that we have to hide in a closet somewhere, don't look at anybody. Don't say anything. Don't do anything, because if you do, you're a pagan. And I get accused of that all the time. I get accused. What I'm going to show you now, some guy wrote me up on the internet and said, he's a pagan. He's deceiving people. Let me show you what the King James Bible says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Not Satan's handiwork. He didn't make that. God did. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line, like a line of scripture, has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the S-U-N, sun, which is as a bridegroom. I love that. Look at that. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race, whose going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And there's a guy's emailing me all the time about geocentricity, and I want to tell you something. If you just do nothing but read the King James Bible and believe exactly what it says, you'll be geocentric, which basically means the idea before, who was it, Galileo, was that the earth was at the center. And I know somebody's going to get a screen capture of this and say, Pastor Mike's making Illuminati gestures to his brothers. The sun was at the center of the universe, and the universe revolved around the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. When Joshua commanded the moon to stand still, because we know the moon revolves around the earth, right? He also commanded not the earth to stop rotating. He commanded the sun to stand still and not move. Go back to that scripture. The sun's going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know what? I just believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. And some people, he not only is a pagan, he's a kook. Now, let me tell you where I'm going with this. God made all the days. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he appointed them movements. And those movements is what gives us signs. My dad planted by the Farmer's Almanac, and the Farmer's Almanac had the signs in them of when to plant, and he did. And my dad had a garden out of this world, because he would get a copy of the Farmer's Almanac and he would read when to plant. Who was it? Randy Travis sang a song. I kind of like this song, The Family Bible and the Farmer's Almanac. When to plant, when to harvest, how you reap what you sow, when to look for rain and who to turn to when it don't. I kind of like that song. But anyway, he gave it for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And then it says the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. So I've explained this before. Let me show you this, okay? We know that every day, every 24-hour period, the sun rises over the earth as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. The sun would be in a chamber as far as what we can see, and it's hid. We can't see the sun. But then 6 o'clock in the morning or whenever, the sun comes out of a chamber and it rises and it goes forth in his circuit. Now, to the guy who wrote me a couple weeks ago and said that he wants to use me to correct the biggest lie that has ever been told on planet Earth, and it's dooming millions of people to hell, that the Earth is actually flat, I will tell you that no, you're wrong according to the King James Bible. Because, number one, the sun goes in a circuit. And number two, Solomon talked about the circle of the earth. Or who was it? Solomon or somebody. But anyway, the circle of the earth. The earth is not flat. It's round. Because the Bible says it's round. Anyway. So it goes, it rises. And then it sets. And every day we see the birth and the death of Jesus Christ, and then the rise from the dead. Every day we see that. Every day. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But then God's not done. Because every year he does the exact same thing. Every day he does it east to west. Every year he does it exactly the same way. Only this time it's south to north. And so on December 21st, this is God ordained. He did this. God is the devil did not make the shortest day of the year on December 21st. He didn't do that. Quit giving him the credit for it. God put it there. So on December 21st, the sun is way down exactly 23 point some odd degrees south of the equator. It has set down. It's in a chamber. And so on December 21st, we have the shortest day of the year, and wintertime for us is very dark and cloudy and all of this stuff. We don't see any sun for months, but then something happens. Right after December 21st, that sun starts to rise again. You see, June 21st to December 21st, the sun is setting from north to south. Then on December 21st, there is a shift. The sun begins to rise again, and it takes 6 months to rise again from 23 degrees south of the equator. On the vernal equinox, it reaches the equator at high noon. It's straight overhead. And then on June 21st, it is the most high that it's going to be at this summer solstice. God made that to be exactly that way. Quit giving the devil the credit. I was stunned at this. Have you ever heard of the Venus transit? You know what that is? The planet Venus, the astrologers and the astronomers figured this out a long time ago. They would map the movement or the transit of the planet Venus over an 8-year period. The planet Venus draws a 5-pointed star in the heavens. Who did that? God did that. But what does the devil want to do? He wants to be like who? The Most High God. And so this is why. Listen, I'm not Christianizing a pagan day. The pagans paganized a day that God made. Do you follow me on this? I'm not saying it's okay to go trick-or-treating and dress up like Frankenstein and werewolves and witches. And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is God already made the day, and he put his glory in the signs and the seasons and the days and the years and his gospel and his scriptures. He wrote them in the heavens. So we're not Christian. I'm not Christianizing a pagan holiday or a pagan day. The pagans paganized December 21st, March 21st, June 21st, September 21st. And back again. The devil paganized these days and taught a false religion. So you know what I think that we should do on October the 31st? I think that we should rejoice and be glad in the day that the Lord has made. Now, some people are going to write me, or they're going to write me up on the internet and saying, Hoggard's a pagan. Yeah, we caught him red-handed. He's telling you to do this and do this and do this on December 21st and do this. I'm not telling you to do anything except for what the Bible tells you to do. Rejoice and be glad in it. Quit being angry at the world. They're lost. They're sinners. You know what you're doing? You're letting them have an effect on you and your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're letting them have an effect. You're letting them get dominion over you. I say stop it. There was a guy on Facebook a couple years ago. I mean, he made me mad. And there's plenty of people like him out there. And he writes this thing on Facebook saying, any of you out there who call yourself Christians who have anything to do with Halloween, you are mocking the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and you're calling God a liar, and and basically he was saying, if you gave out candy, you're going to hell. You're not saved anymore. I wrote him back privately, and I said, look, I understand what you're trying to get across here, but that's not your call. You don't get to make the rules for salvation and stick them on people and say, if you don't do what I tell you to do, or you do what I tell you not to do, then you are not saved. You don't get to do that. You know what he did? He blocked me. And then he wrote this monster post on Facebook going, Hoggard's a pagan! He's a pagan! So anyway, that's where I'm going with this. And yes, there is the paganization of all kinds of things. But you know what? They were God's first. I say let him have it. So if you want to pass out tracts on October the 31st, pass them out. If you want to pass, we made a DVD specifically for today to hand out. Wayne comes over here, he gets, I don't know, 200 copies, and he's going to hand them out. We've got other people going to hand them out. Why? Because little kids are going to come to their door with their hand out. You know what he's going to do? He's going to put a DVD in their bag. Why not? Why not? Yeah, I know all the pagans. Listen, I study this stuff. I get it. But why not let God have the dominion on October the 31st or December the 21st or March 21st or June 21st? Why not? Let's see here. Where else can I go with this here? Oh, I was going to talk to you about the elements. I remember now. Let's see here. Where can I go here? Oh, I want to show you this. This is actually part of the teaching, the Wicca in the church. Let's see here. Let me get rid of that. Here we go. Okay. Let's see here. If I can make it switch to that. No, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Let me go through this stuff very quickly. I'm still figuring out this new way of doing things here. It's supposed to save me. Oh, let's talk about this guy for a minute. Okay? Let's talk about what witchcraft really is. Witchcraft is the performance of a work or a ritual or a recited prayer and certain words that if you say them the right way or you say them in a certain situation or whatever, then you're going to automatically invoke God in it. And that's why Paul wrote the foolish Galatians about who bewitched him, because they were thinking that in performing the works of the law, that would automatically invoke God to do for them. And I started hearing things years ago about all these worship things. Oh, God's going to be in worship. You want to honor God, get in worship. God is worship, 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 worship. Everything was all about worship. Everything was all about the performance. And I kept hearing this, and I kept hearing this, that you're trying to think why God is not doing things in your life. Maybe it's because you're not worshiping Him the right way. Maybe you're not worshiping Him enough. And you know what that's telling people to do? If you want God to do something for you, perform for Him. And I'm telling you, and the Bible is telling you, that's witchcraft. Is it wrong to worship God? Oh, no. 1,000 times no. But why? Why are you worshiping God? Why would you worship God? Why should you worship God? You worship God because of things He's already done. But if you think that if you worship God enough or worship Him in this particular manner, or if you raise your hands like this and you sing the 7-Eleven songs, seven words repeated 11 times, if you do that, then God's going to release this thing on you. That's witchcraft. You don't worship God to get something. You worship Him because you've already got it. Then there's this guy here, Zondervan, who prints the NIV. Guy writes this book called The Circle Maker. And The Circle Maker, and he explained it. He gets his ideas and his doctrine not from the Bible, not from the scriptures, not from the writings of Paul or Ezekiel. He gets it from a Jewish fable. Think of who is at the core of the false doctrines of this world. He gets it from a Jewish fable about some guy that wanted God to do something, and he decided to draw a circle, and he wasn't going to get out of it until God did something. So this author, who is this, Mark Batterson, is going around the whole world telling everybody, you want to get God's attention, draw yourself a circle and get in it, and then God will release this blessing to you. God will give you this and God will give you that. So you have youth groups, you have church groups making circles, drawing circles, circling this, circling that, and doing this in an effort to raise God up from his sleep or his slumber in order to get God to do something. What do witches do? Witches have their as their underlying belief. Now, let me throw this in so you don't misunderstand me. Pastor Mike, are you saying that it's wrong for us to get together and hold hands in a circle and pray? No. No, not at all. We've done that. Do that at Thanksgiving. We do that as families. We do that in church services. We do that around hospital beds. We do these things. Why? That's just, I don't know, we just feel connected to one another. Do we think that we have to join hands and lock arms and stand in a circle in order to get God? The answer is no, absolutely not. If you think that, you don't believe the Bible. You don't get your ideas from the scriptures, because God never told you to do that. Never did he ever tell you that you had to get in a circle and make a circle with your body so God could hear you. But remember, devils are beasts. Beasts only operate a certain way. I remember hearing, I was in the gas station one time, and the canine patrolman had his car parked out there, and he had his dog out there, a German Shepherd. And the dog was barking and carrying on, things like that, and this deputy shouted some orders in German. And I went, and I said, "Why are you speaking that dog in German?" He said, "Because he speaks German." And the reason why they do that is that they have a special language that they speak to the dogs like German, so that any criminal cannot order the dog to do something. You see how that works? Some criminal can say, "Stay!" Well, that dog's a German Shepherd. I wonder what you'd have to do if you had a French poodle. Anyway, and so you understand the idea. Animals do respond to certain commands if they are done the right way. And so these beasts are designed that they respond to rituals. Rituals done in a certain fashion, on certain days, in certain ways, and it all has to be that way. And that is witchcraft. I won't even show that. So you have this idea of elemental witchcraft showing up in the church. Here's Elements Kids Worship. That's from the Free Will Baptist, where we used to belong to. I won't have any part of that. I will not support that with time or money. I will not support this with our church. No way, no how. Don't ask me. Here is another church, Elements BX. I don't know what the BX stands for. This is in Bronx, New York. Maybe the BX stands for Bronx. Here's another one. And notice that this particular church is using earth, air, fire, and water. This is the element church. The missing element of worship. You see that? That's what this is all about. If we perform based upon the elements, then God or the God will release a blessing to us. Somebody wrote me and said, "Pastor, you were dead on. A Jezebel prophetess in our church told everybody that God told her that we needed to pray, and we needed to pray to the north, and then face the south, and then face the east and face the west. And that would invoke God's blessing up, and God would hear our prayer." That is witchcraft. And it's based upon the elements. Now, let me see if I can fast forward here. Let's see here. The Law of Attraction, The Secret, Power Thoughts, Joyce Meyer's Power Thoughts. That's all witchcraft. Joyce Meyer's Me and My Big Man. Let me show you what's on the screen here so you can see what I'm flipping through here. Let me go back. Here we have Power Thoughts by Joyce Meyer, Power Thoughts by Robert Schuller, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, The Secret. That's all based upon the Law of Attraction. Thoughts become things. Joel Osteen practices this. He teaches this. This is why his God and my God are not the same one. The Secret Power of Speaking God's Word, Joyce Myers. Your Best Life Now, Joel Osteen. He says, if you will transform your mind, God will transform your life. Our thoughts contain tremendous power. That is witchcraft. You know how I know? Because the King James Bible says that God knoweth the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. We're wicked. Who can know the heart of man? It is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Joel wants to try to tell you that if you can just think the right thoughts, then money and wealth and a hot-looking Barbie doll wife is going to be next to your arm candy, they call it. If you'll just do these things, become a better you. Seven keys to improving your life every day. He says, one of the best ways that we can improve our self-image is with our words. Words are like, here we go, seeds. They have creative power. It says in Isaiah that we will eat the fruit of our words. That's amazing when you stop to consider that truth. Our words tend to produce what we're saying. Every day we should, hang on a second. Let me try this, okay? I'm going to try this live on camera. I declare that my hair shall be parted on the other side. No, didn't happen. You know why God hates witchcraft so much? Number one, he knows the devils that are behind it. You know why he hates it so much? It's a setup. It doesn't really work. It doesn't require... You can't make it work all the time. And God actually has something better than witchcraft. It's called grace. It's called, God, will you help me? Yeah, I will. So you know what? You can ask God and he'll give to you. Now, suppose I ask God to part my hair on the other side of my head. You know what God would probably say to me? Mike, I'll just do something better for you. I'll just give you the satisfaction of liking where your hair is parted. Works for me. Anyway, back to Joel. He said, our words tend to produce what we're saying. Every day we should make positive declarations over our lives. We should say things such as, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I am healthy. You know what? Stop. You know what that is? Lying. It's lying. I am blessed. I am prosperous. That's a lie. I am healthy. If I said that, I would be lying. I'm not healthy. My arthritis, my bones are just aching me today. Joel says that if I say this enough and believe it, then all my aches and pains are going to go away. But in order for me to say it 20 times, I will have to be lying 20 times when I say that. It's not the truth. Joel, I can't say that. When we do that, we're building up our self-image, and these words permeate your heart and mind, and especially your subconscious mind. Do you see that? Your subconscious mind, right? Right here, your subconscious mind. Eventually, they will begin to change the way you see yourself. The scripture says, with our tongue, we can either bless our life or we can curse our life. Some individuals curse their own future by saying things such as, I don't have what it takes. I'm so clumsy, I can't get anything right. I'm so undisciplined, I'll probably never lose this weight. We must be extremely careful what we allow out of our mouth. Our words set the direction for our lives. I'm going to tell you something. Paul warned us about another gospel removing us from the simplicity that is in Christ. And if you want to follow a plan that requires 100% strict obedience to a set of rules and guidelines in order for God to finally do something in you or for you to finally do something in yourself, if you want to follow that, you be my guest. You're going to fail. This kind of religion and doctrine only sets people up for failure. It does not give them success. Do you know why? Because nobody has ever achieved 100% perfection, either in word or in deed. We are failures. We are born. Boy, Joel Osteen would love to get a hold of me today. I'm telling you, you were born a failure. The moment you were conceived and born out of your mommy's tummy, you were headed to hell. Your thoughts don't change that. The Word of God does. Joel, you're a witch. What can I say? Now, let me get to, Let me get to the elements here. What time is it? Let me show you what I see here. Oh, let me back this up here. Here's one of the principles of Wicca. We believe in the affirmation and fulfillment of life in a continuation of evolution and development of consciousness, giving meaning to the universe we know and our personal role within it. Now watch this. Here is witchcraft in the church. Here is the evolved church. See the symbol? The evolved church. You see a swastika here? It's there. The shift church. It's all about the change. Paradigm Shift Ministries. Shift 2010. And notice this. Suddenly heaven invades, forcing transformation. Wow. Witchcraft. Now, let me move. Beth Moore, she's a witch. Those are witches. All right, now, let me get to the elements. Take your Bibles. Let me pull up the Bible search software, and I'll show you this. By the way, I probably am going to go past my 2:30 deadline today. I'm going to read some emails today. See where you're at. See what you're talking about. Where am I going? Can't think and click at the same time. Galatians chapter 4. Now remember, Paul told the Israelite or told the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia, he wanted to know who bewitched them. So then Paul says, and I'm going to highlight the text here. Okay. He says, howbeit, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Count those, would you please? Days, number one. Months, number two. Times, number three. And years, number four. And he calls them not the strong and overpowering, conquering elements. He calls them the weak and beggarly elements. Now, what are these elements? We know them as earth, air, fire, and water. And here's where I'm going with this, okay? Is Wicca real? Yes. Are there really witches in the world? Yes. Does October the 31st have a special relation to Wicca, paganism, Satanism, and on and on and on? The answer is yes. Overwhelmingly yes. And for the reason that I spoke of earlier, the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, let's call them, by the way, the word elements in the King James Bible, four times. I'm not making that up. Go read it. Okay? Hey, let me show it to you. Okay, watch this. I'm going to type in the word elements. I should have used my broom here. That's not a witch's broom. Okay? Oh, by the way, let me show you this. You know what God said he was going to do? He was going to sweep them with the besom of destruction. Why do witches ride brooms? Why is the broom their symbol? It represents a religion that is being swept across the land. It is the besom of destruction that God himself is using to destroy mankind. That Bible's right. I'm telling you, that Bible's right. Let's get back to the software here. E-L-E-M-E-T-N-T-S. Look at there. Galatians 4, in bondage under the elements of the world. Galatians 4, weak and beggarly elements. 2 Peter 3:10, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hastening of the coming the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. Isn't that just amazes me. Now, let me tell you where I'm going with this. The reason why October 31st has such implications in the devil's religion. There are two religions in the world. There is Bible-believing Christianity, and there is witchcraft. That's the only two religions there are in the world. And every other religion in the world is based upon witchcraft. My wife just sent me a text. Boy, she's on a roll today. She said, I just learned the fear of Halloween is called Samhainophobia. Samhainophobia. So don't be a Samhainophobist, all right? But anyway, it's based upon this idea that the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, or the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, that whether you're doing a circle maker thing, or you're facing the four directions, or you're using the elemental ideas in your church or whatever it is, you're using witchcraft. You're saying that God only responds to this or this or this or this on this certain day. That's not the God. That's not the creator God. That is the creature God. But it's not the creator God. God is higher than his creation. And he does not need for it to be December 21st in order to be worshiped. He does not need for it to be any other day in order to be worshiped correctly or for him to hear you. It doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. These devils that people are actually praying to, and Wiccans are always strong to say, we're not devil worshipers. We don't even believe in devils. Isn't it neat that God actually requires you to believe in him and believe on him for salvation and for grace? The devil's religion? You don't have to believe him in at all. You don't have to believe in him at all. And so they say, we don't believe in devils. We believe in earth, air, fire, and water. Those are devils. The ideas behind them are devils, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so when these witches gather together, whether they're in the church or outside of the church, and they meet together on October 31st, it is because of their belief that they can reach the spiritual world and gain energies or some sort of benefit or some blessing from the elementals that are out there. And they can do it better and get more of it on this particular day than they can any other day. I don't believe that. I don't accept that. It's not biblical. I believe on October the 27th, I can get down on my knees before God and say, God, will you hear my prayer today? And God says, you're my son. Why wouldn't I hear your prayer? That's my God. I don't have to wait for a certain day or a specific time or face a certain direction or bow to this or draw a circle or a pentagram or anything. I don't have to do that. Now, if in the your process of you worshiping God, you do something that is symbolic, we tend as human beings to do things that are symbolic. And reminders. There are things that remind me of my dad. There are things that remind me of my granddaughter, Adeline. There are things that remind me of very special people, my grandpa's hat and so on. There are things that remind me of very, very special people or things. There are certain, just between me and God, there are certain times of the year that to me are always a reminder of things that God has done in my life. April 1st is one of them. Why? That's the day I was electrocuted, almost died. That day, I always stop and remember what God saved me from and how God heard my prayer when I couldn't do anything else. That's just how we are. So is it a sin to do those things? No! Is it a sin? Let me ask you, is it a sin to be a Christian on a pagan holiday? No. What about December 25th? I want to ask the same question. Who made that day? Who made it? Who set the ordinances and the motions of the stars and the sun and the moon? Who did that? Who is it that said that those things are for signs and for seasons and days and years? Who is it that said that their line, there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard? Who said that? God did. And I have people trying to tell me, and I don't want to hurt your conscience in any way, shape, or form. If you believe that God has told you not to have an observance on like December 25th or whatever, if God has told you not to do that, then you listen to God. And I don't want to bruise your conscience. Not in the least bit would I do that. But scripturally, you cannot command me to not worship my Savior on December 25th. You cannot command me to do that. Because I'm telling you, today, October the 31st, I'm worshiping my God. I honor him and I give him the credit and the praise that he's worthy of. November the 1st, I'll do it again. November 16th, opening day of deer season, I'm going to do it again. Hang on. I'm going to go past a little bit. All right. Is that okay with everybody? Or have you got some Halloween stuff to get to? Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor my God. And there are lost people out there who need to know the truth. And if all you know how to do is call them a pagan, you don't have a whole lot to give them. You know what? I would just ask God to somehow, some way, if he could use you on any of those days that you don't commemorate, and I'm fine with that, but you could at least ask God to use you to be a light and do it in love of the truth of the gospel. What's wrong with that? I'm still annoyed at my Adolf Hitler mustache under my nose. I'm going to have to do something with that light. It's really starting to get on my nerves. By the way, I didn't show you this. The elements, when the Bible says the elements are going to melt away with a fervent heat, let me show you how everything, where can I get to it here? Let me minimize that. There we go. Let me show you how this works. Okay. The first element, earth. Revelation 13, and beheld another beast coming up where? Out of the earth. This is, here's what I'm going to show you. Those people who are relying upon the elements for grace or for benefit, the elements themselves are going to be a curse to you. in the element of the earth, the false prophet comes out of the earth. He's going to cause everybody to get a mark on their right hand or forehead, and when they do, they're going to get cast into the lake of fire. Water. Where did the beast come from? He rose up out of the sea. There are four angels bound in the great river Euphrates, which is the fourth river that's mentioned coming out of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. So it's a spiritual river. It is a spiritual realm river. That's water. The curse is coming out of, number one, the earth. Number two, the water. The destruction of mankind. Number three, fire. Fetch angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And I'm talking about it. I recorded the second part of the Watchman yesterday on the power of the fire, power of the flame, or the divine spark. Fire is going to end up being a curse. And then we have the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is. The God of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so people, this whole elements thing, it's going to end up biting everybody on the backside in a bad, bad way. I wouldn't follow that if I were you. Oh, let me read some emails and see what's on everybody's mind here. How far down do we go here? How about Nancy? Says, Pastor Mike, do you think we as Christians will see aliens invade the earth before God raptures us up? Aliens in the sense of fallen angels? Let me quote scripture. In fact, let me put scripture on the screen. We'll let scripture answer your question, all right? 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, let me put it up on the screen here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. There's going to be a shaking coming. Think of figs falling out of a tree. Or be troubled, neither. And see, there's your answer right there. Figs falling out of a tree. Revelation chapter 6. Write that down. Go read it. Be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what? Falling away first. I have to believe the Bible on that one, all right? I have to go with the scripture on that one. So, appreciate you asking the question. Rachel likes the scripture-laden toe-tapping music. I appreciate that. Let's see here. Amanda. How you doing, Amanda? Hey, Pastor, my name is Amanda. We got that. Thank you very much. I'm new to this show. Hey, do you think that the Christians who are using false Bibles and listening to false preachers like Perry Stone will go through the trials and hate that us King James Bible people will go through in these. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that you and I are appointed to tribulation. You and I. Now, I'm not sure if I'm following your question, because I have heard some people say that the really good Christians are going to be taken out, while the really bad Christians are going to have to go through the fire and the tribulation. Then they'll be okay. Can I help you with that? In God's eyes, there is no such thing as a bad Christian. They don't exist. The two terms are contradictory to one another, sort of like government intelligence. There is no such thing as a bad Christian. Okay? So, you know, I'd you know, maybe kind of rewrite your question. I'll take a look at it, all right? Karen says, I think the iron mingling has to do with what you're saying about computers being in us. Yep, I'm there with you, I think. Brooklyn. I think you're a troll, okay? Let's see. Okay, Monica says, I live in Washington. I'm an East Indian by origin. Okay, I got that. I grew up as a Christian in a Hindu culture. I became born-again Christian in 1995. Our parents told us not to conform to the ways of the Hindus, even though my parents were nominal Christians. Now I am in America and become familiar with Halloween. I'm shocked to see how born-again Christians participate in this pagan culture. I get it. They say that they are not wearing any scary costumes, and they do it in a very Christian way. What in the world is that? Any thoughts? Now, I will say this, okay? It is my job to educate, to enlighten, like people have enlightened me about what Halloween is and what its origins are and why you dress up and this and that and the other. Is there a commandment in the scriptures not to dress in a costume? The answer is no. Okay? But I do think, according to scripture, we should avoid the appearance of evil. So here's what you do. Monica and everybody else. And I listen, you don't have to tell me about judging people. I got it in me big time. I have been very candid and very open about the fact that throughout all of my youth in Bethel Church, we participated in Halloween. And I don't mean just had a candy party. One year, I was in charge of the teen haunted house room. We went berserk with that. I dressed up in a tie, like a suit and tie, like a dead zombie, had my hand wrapped in a bloody bandage, and I was wielding a chainsaw with a strobe light as people came in and got scared. In a Sunday school class, it's actually Brady's classroom where we did it. Thank God for his mercy. That God allowed me to see, Mike, that's not right. Did God curse me and send me and take away my salvation as a result of what I did back then? No. Likewise, you should not point your finger at everybody that you see, because I promise you, there are people out there that are just waiting, trolling Facebook, waiting for you to say something about you're giving candy out tonight, and they are going to beat you silly. I don't think you ought to do that. Our job is to educate, to enlighten, to show people what the Word of God says, and show that we really, there's things I don't think we ought to be doing. But it's not our place to judge their salvation. Not our place. Debbie says, what time is it? Dear Pastor Mike, it would not be cool to lose the God-given filter that we have now. Now we have the choice how much of the book we want to look at. We can physically turn our eyes away from ungodly images and sounds. Oh, okay. Put an implant. This is back about the implants. Put an implant in someone's brain and they lose the ability to turn away from unwanted material. I get that. That is a good, good illustration. I believe it would be like bad memories that keep popping us and we are told to cast down vain imaginations. It would be a lot harder to do that with all that stuff downloaded in your brain. People will go crazy if this ever happens. Probably the devils will get downloaded right into people. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Tom from Bristol. How you doing, Tom? Pastor Mike, where's the architect of the universe phrase originate? Is it Lucifer? Since we know it's not the God, the creator. I did my homework in Joshua 10, and I get it. Good for you. The architect of the universe is a Masonic phrase. It's not in the scriptures, and it does refer to Lucifer. If you do the study, which you don't have to do, you'll find out that it is Lucifer. Marcella. Pastor Mike, we love you. Just so to be clear, is it okay to dress up and trick or treat, or not at all? Is it okay to give out candy? Marcella, here's my point in all this, okay? I can't tell you that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not. There is a couple of families in our church that are going to be giving out tracts and DVDs tonight. Fine. I'm not going to kick them out of church for doing it. I have decided a long time ago as pastor over people, it is not my job to be the morality policeman in everything they do. I don't want the job. I couldn't keep up with what everybody... I wouldn't want anybody doing it to me. I would not want people coming by my house at any given time doing an examination to see whether I've got stuff that's right or wrong. I wouldn't want that. So I'm not going to be that to anybody in my church. Now, if I hear of an affair, I mean, that's different. But that's not my job, to be the morality police. And so I can't tell you what to do tonight. I can tell you that if you'll ask God, I promise you he'll give you an answer. And I won't question it. Bill says, thank you once again for properly feeding us the Word of God. Keep your broadcast keep getting better and better. Well, tell God thank you for that, Bill. I appreciate that. Karen says, dear Pastor Mike, you're spot on in your teaching witchcraft from the Bible view. People really do believe in these tactics, and it's very hard to explain to someone who thinks the Bible is a fable over their witchcraft beliefs. But I'm not someone who, but I'm not giving up. I use my Facebook and any talk chats I'm on to quote scripture. Good for you. Quote scripture. Quit giving out your stupid ranting and raving. I'm not talking about you, Karen, calling you stupid. Quit ranting and raving and saying a bunch of stuff. Just quote scripture. Quote scripture. And when you do, you're always going to get somebody saying, what do you mean by that? Huh? What are you trying to say? You know what you do? Quote the scripture again. I'm just saying this. You do whatever you want to with it. This is what I'm saying. So anyway, appreciate that. Eric, hey, Pastor, have you ever seen or heard of the movie Pitch Black or Chronicles of Riddick? No, I haven't. They have elementals and necromongers and flying beasts that come out of the ground when it's... Ooh, pretty cool. Appreciate that. Let's see here. What else? Heather? Pastor Mike, I've heard you say that the USA was a Christian nation back when it started. If that's true, how could they let slavery go on for so long? Would you get over it? Anyway, Margie, amen, amen, Pastor, on the element and the things you have shared that this is witchcraft and all the false teachers who promote the four elements. Amen to that. Rachel, thank you for your biblical teaching on the holidays and talking with other believers. I meet strong opposition to the idea that God owns every day and that I am free to worship him on every day and any day he leads me to. They warn me I'm pagan by even giving the appearance of evil. I believe in geocentricity. Thank you. Rachel, let me tell you something, okay? Here's my opinion of these people, okay? They set up these little standards that if they see you handing out a Christmas present, they're going to take your salvation away from you and tell you you're a pagan. Meanwhile, they've been looking at women scantily clad or nude on the internet. They've been having all kinds of thoughts, deeds. They covet like everybody else in the world does. But here's what they do. They're not interested in their sin. They're interested in what they think you're doing. And they want to cast this thing on you. And, I think it really makes them feel better about themselves. God called me to this. God told me to tell everybody they're going to hell for doing this. Meanwhile, their own personal life is a shambles. And the reason why they do this is to make themselves feel better against you. That's the only reason why I can figure they're doing it. So you just keep that in mind. and don't argue with them. You can quote scripture, quote about, you know, he that regardeth a day regardeth it unto the Lord. Quote scripture to them and then walk away. Because if they don't listen to God, they're not going to listen to you. A couple more emails. Karen, the Jezebel spirit will always try to take leadership in worship and prayer in a church. Wow. Amen. Great show, Pastor Mike. Last night, I too ached all in my joints and felt sick. The devil is on the prowl. Amen. Let's see here. Hey, Pastor Mike, will there be a war with Christians trying to kill Christians in these last days? I mean, will the Christians who don't believe in the King James Bible try their best to kill or destroy us who stand for the King James? Is that related to the question I just answered earlier? What I believe is there are two types of people, saved people and lost people, and the lost people are going to persecute the saved people. It's as simple as that, all right? A couple of notes here. I want you to be in prayer for Alicia and Michael. They are expediting their trip to Kenya. Michael's grandmother is in ailing health, and I talked to her and prayed with her the other day over the phone, yesterday over the phone. She does not sound good. She is very, very, very sick. This is, without a doubt, the most godly woman I've ever met in my life. She is the sweetest example of feminine Christianity that I've ever seen. I can't say enough about her. She is fixing to go to heaven, and we wish her all the wells in the world. But this is going to hit Michael pretty hard, so pray for him. They're going to be leaving next Tuesday on their way back to Kenya. So please, please, please remember to pray for them. All right? I'm out of here. I'm going to go home, and you know what? God took away Halloween, trick-or-treating, and now God's taking away candy from me. What are you doing to me, God? I love him. He's given me something sweeter than candy. It's called the honey of the Word of God. God bless you. We'll see you later, alligator.